DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Father Scott Hurd, who was baptized and raised in the Episcopal Church. He began his ordained ministry as a married Episcopal priest. In 1996, Father Scott entered the Catholic Church and was ordained a Catholic priest in 2000. He has served as the Executive Director of the Archdiocese of Washington's Office of the Permanent Diaconate and as Vicar General of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. He is the author of Forgiveness, A Catholic Approach, and Daily Devotions for Lent, 2013. With Father Scott Hurd, we go inside the pages of When Faith Feels Fragile, Help for the Weary, the Weak, and the Wandering, published by Pauline Media. Father, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's delightful to be back on your program again and to hear your voice.
Well, I am so pleased to be able to bring to everybody yet another one of Father Scott Hurd's books that I am just... Especially now, it's kind of sad that we're coming to the end of the year of faith, but then again, that's something that's really perpetually with us, isn't it, Father?
Well, absolutely. I do like to joke that it's actually the 13 and a half months of faith, but it has been a real blessing. Certainly the highlight, I think, for many has been the advent of Pope Francis, who in his messages and communications has really been calling all of us to a stronger faith. And so I think his words and message are a nice way to conclude this observation that we've been enjoying in the church.
It seems as though the subtitle for the book is one that he might have written, When Faith Feels Fragile, Help for the Weary, Weak, and Wandering. And that is who not only our wonderful Holy Father Pope Francis is calling us to reach out to, it's who Jesus is calling us to reach out to, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And in one sense, at certain points of our lives, I think all of us could include ourselves in that category of the weary, weak, and wandering. But indeed, Pope Francis is calling us to a renewed evangelization in the sense of really meeting people where they are, listening to them. Hopefully they'll listen to us, and inviting the Lord to use those opportunities to break into people's lives and move them in a more positive, faith-filled direction.
Do you think, Father, that this time in particular is one that is really challenging our faith? Right now, there just seems to be an atmosphere of weariness.
Yes, and there are so many factors that can contribute to that feeling of weariness. And some of it is just the lifestyles that many of us find ourselves immersed in this culture, the go, 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 the 24/7 type of mentality, and making space in our lives for faith, for the Lord, can become an afterthought or seem like a luxury for people with too much time on their hands. And, you know, it's not as if we're intentionally setting out to exclude God for our lives, but he becomes out of sight and out of mind, and he drops off the radar screen. And then I think another factor is we have a climate in our culture today of increasing suspicion about faith. We have some very prominent voices who are, quite frankly, proponents of atheism, who make the point, you know, faith is not something we want to encourage. We want to discourage it, because look at human history. You know, faith has been used as a justification for all sorts of persecutions and prejudices and so forth. And we hear some of those voices, and it can challenge us, and it's a very real challenge.
What's so wonderful about this book is that it meets folks wherever you may be at, because that's the one thing that's consistent, isn't it, Father? There is always going to be change, and in particular in our spiritual life, in our everyday activity. I mean, we're never always going to be at the same place.
That's right. And one of the messages that I sought to impart in the book is that God always meets us where we are. there is what's called in our faith tradition the sacrament of the present moment, which in essence is, okay, God, here I am. These are my circumstances, situation, relationships. How can I find you where I am? How can I serve you and discern your will in the midst of this and sometimes a mess? How can I grow where I'm planted? And I think that a realization of that, that God always meets us where we are, is a key element in moving from a fragile faith to a stronger one.
I just have to wonder how you do it, Father, because in all of your books, but in particular in this one, you offer just enough, not too much, not too little, but just enough insight and inspiration on each of the various areas that you kind of challenge us to enter into.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. And in a sense, that was one of my intentions. It's not an exhaustive theological treatise. It's a popular book meant for real people living real lives. And the chapters, I hope, are short enough so that they don't require a big commitment on the part of the reader, but are nurturing enough that people can take away something that they can put into practice in their lives.
Let's talk about the makeup of the book. How did you determine to divide it up into the four major sections that encompass this work?
Well, you know, it just sort of happened that way. I began the project, and you start sketching out chapters, and it developed in such a way that the chapters fit neatly into these four different categories of the book. But, you know, you set out to write a book on faith, and you look at the question of faith, what are the challenges to faith, and then go from there into the question of, well, how can we grow in faith? How can we include God more in all of the activities of our lives? And it just kind of goes from there. But I will say that the fact that there are 40 chapters, it's a good biblical number,
mm-hmm.
Happens to be the number of days in Lent. That might have been kind of intentional, thinking that people might enjoy it, particularly during that season.
That's also a wonderful book just to be able to pick up, and wherever you find yourself within its midst, there's usually a gem, and maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us in a certain way. And I think that's in the first section of the book when you discuss what is faith? What does it look like? I think that's a valid question, because maybe it's one of those things that we really don't know how to define, and we just experience it.
Yeah, that's good. And I imagine that if we ask any number of people in pews on Sunday, you know, tell us what faith is. And I think most people have sort of a gut instinct idea as to what faith is, but for them to give a concrete definition might be something of a challenge. And so I hope that in reading this book, people can get a firmer grasp on just what it is we're talking about when we speak of faith. Is it belief? Yes. Is it service? Yes. Is it trust? Yes. And all of the above. It's a big question, but it's a fundamental question at the very heart of who we are as Christian men and women.
Is it something that we can give ourselves, Father? I mean, is it something that we can make happen?
No. Faith is always a gift that comes from the Lord, and it's one that he is always seeking to impart to us. But there is a two-way street. The Lord extends the invitation. He's holding this gift out to us all the time. It's up to us to receive it. And one of the things I seek to address in the book is, how can we, in a variety of ways, accept this gift of faith that the Lord is handing to us? And I believe there are more ways we can do that than we very often appreciate or realize.
What impresses me about that is that because it is a gift, and how you've described that, it's almost like a Christmas gift. that we're, someone hands us, God gives us the package, but it's up to us to unwrap it.
You know, absolutely, absolutely. God is as revealed in the Old Testament. I believe it's in one of the Psalms. He's not hiding in some faraway place that we need to embark on some mystical quest to find him in the desert. God is with us, present to us, around us, all the time. And that gift of faith, as you said, the Christmas gift, we can imagine it as a box with ribbons and bows, always holding it out to us. But again, we need to receive it. We need to accept it. And in a very real sense, we need to accept it on a daily basis. That giving our lives over to God, embracing him in every circumstance, that involves any number of choices throughout the course of a day.
We're talking with the wonderful Father Scott Hurd about his book, When Faith Feels Fragile, Help for the Weary, Weak, and Wandering. And I think what's so wonderful about the book is that it's as though you show us that God is presenting us this gift, and we can respond and experience it in many, many different ways. And as you just said, we're surrounded by all these opportunities, but also the world surrounds us, doesn't it, Father? And many other factors that can drown out the opportunity to experience this gift.
Well, precisely. And you just used the phrase drown out. It's been said that we live in a very noisy world. Many of us live our lives sucked into a variety of forms of media, and we are presented with a variety of different messages through that media. Some are positive, some are negative, but at the same time, you know, when we're surrounded by this cacophony of different voices, it's very difficult to hear the voice of God, because God typically speaks in whispers as opposed to shouting. And when we live in this noisy world, it's very easy for the voice of God to be drowned out. And so one of the challenges for us is, how do we make space, find time in our life to be silent, to be still, and listen to the whispering voice of God?
I love section two, especially the subtitle, Churchy Things to Do. And I think that's a wonderful way of it's an affectionate term, isn't it? The churchy things that we do, but they are there to try to be yet another way that God is reaching out to us.
Well, that's right, and the title was intentionally, kind of cutesy, if you want to call it that. But, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when our faith is feeling fragile or weak, churchy things can seem rather imposing or difficult to participate in. And I want those churchy things, mass, confession, praying, to be accessible, and to remind people that in the midst of those opportunities, God is there with that gift, packaged with a bow. You know, here it is in the sacraments, in that conversation, which is prayer, in the reconciliation that can take place in confession, and so forth. So there are so many ways that we can encounter God, but there are these very particular ways that we have been gifted with in the church, and it's essential that we avail of ourselves of those opportunities, because God is certainly there.
It seems as though we will use terms like churchy things almost in a way when we're struggling with our faith, because we want to say it's over there, or it's sentimental, or it didn't speak to me, or something, when we're in that struggle, when we're lost. And that's when really relying on those things that the saints have told us to get ourselves not so much out of it, but to help us, is to get out and be out in the world, engage. And I think that's what that third section really challenges us to do.
Yes, and in one of the chapters, I tell a story of having, on a Saturday morning, I was registering for a 5K running race in the community where my parish was, and I went up to the registration table, and one of my parishioners, who I know very well, was there, you know, taking the registrations. And I went up to him, and we're talking for a minute, and this individual looked as if he had never met me before. And so we spoke for a minute, and then his eyes widened, and he said, "Oh, my goodness, your father heard." But I wasn't in church. I wasn't wearing black. I was in a rec center, and I was wearing, you know, running clothes. And because I was out of my normal context, he didn't expect to encounter me there. He didn't even recognize me. And the point I make is that sometimes we can do that with the Lord. We expect to encounter the Lord in the churchy things, you know, at Mass, praying the rosary, what have you. But do we expect to encounter the Lord outside of those contexts, doing the dishes, in the workplace, in our struggles, in our celebrations and joys? And the answer to that is yes. But sometimes it takes a very real, intentional, and conscious effort to appreciate the Lord's presence in those circumstances, or we can end up like my parishioner who just didn't even see the person standing before him.
Yeah, that reminds me of the teachings of St. Teresa of Avila, the instructions to the sisters that, you know, when you find yourself, I'm going to paraphrase, of course, but kind of in a funk, that to get up and start, get busy, do the things of the Lord, even if you're struggling. And Mother Teresa was a great example of that as well, wasn't she?
Well, absolutely. And I make many references to the first Teresa there of Avila in the book. And she famously once said, "God walks amidst the pots and pans." Mm-hmm. The message being, you know, can we encounter the Lord when we're doing the dishes? And we typically approach activities like that as, well, this is just a chore I need to do, or a necessary evil to be endured before I can get onto more pleasurable things. But can we use that as an opportunity to exercise and celebrate our faith? And yes, but it depends on how we approach it. Washing the dishes, any of those things we might do in our household, driving the kids to the carpool, folding the laundry, paying the bills, they're acts of service that we do for our family, for our loved ones, for our communities, and ourselves. And we can always recall when we engage in those acts of services that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And we can offer up all of our little acts of services as ways to unite ourselves more closely, conform ourselves more closely to Jesus, who was a servant. And, you know, so when we approach those tasks with that mindset, not, I got to do the dishes, but, this is a valuable act of service, we can encounter God in them and recognize, as Teresa said, he truly does walk amidst the pots and pans.
Well, to just kind of, since we're visiting with St. Teresa of Avila in our discussion here, I mean, she also would, I think, highly endorse the fourth section of the book, do fun things. I mean, she loved to dance. She loved to sing. Wasn't she the one who said, "Spare me from the sorrowful saints"?
Yes, yes, and I think I include that in the book, and that's true. Joy is one of the signs of the presence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. St. Augustine famously said, a Christian should be an alleluia from head to foot. And how do we cultivate that joy? Well, one way we can cultivate that joy is through the normal human celebrations that can bring us happiness. You know, how can we make participating in sports an exercise in growing in faith? How do our family holiday celebrations present us with opportunities to grow in faith? How does singing and expressing the joy of the gift of music, how can that bring us closer to the Lord? And so I try to unpack some of that, again, to underscore the fact that the Lord can be encountered in every circumstance, in every activity. And if we try to encounter them there, there's some very rich blessings to be had.
It so impresses me, Father, that throughout the book, it's really, even though the word doing is there, I think what you're asking us to do is, it's about being open to His presence. And that's how the faith will grow.
Well, absolutely. And I think that's an important distinction, that this is not simply about crossing off boxes on a to-do list, but it is about opening ourselves. Because what is at the heart of faith? It's relationship. It's a relationship of love, this gift of faith that the Lord is always extending to us is a gift of love. And so through seeking God in all these ways, yes, we are doing things, but more importantly, as you said, we are opening ourselves to receive God's love. And, you know, at the very core of our being, that is how God created us to live, is to be people who receive His love, to return it, and to share it with our brothers and sisters, and to share it with ourselves, too.
Well, Father Scott, I just have to say, I think this book in particular needs to be in every Catholic home, because I think it's one of those, you never know when those moments are going to come upon you, when you do feel that your faith is fragile, that you are weary, that you're weak and you're wandering, and to be able to have this easily accessible because it's filled for just about every moment. I think it's an important one to have in the spiritual arsenal.
Well, and thank you for that. And, you know, the book has been out for a couple weeks, and I've had the opportunity to do some talks and to speak with people afterwards. And the feedback is that I'm receiving is that, yes, there are many people right now struggling with faith matters, mm-hmm. and this topic really appeals to them. And then there are also a lot of older Catholic parents of adults who buy this book as gifts to be given to their adult children who may have wandered from the faith or who are hanging on by a thread. And so some people are buying it for themselves. Others seem to be buying it for loved ones in the hope that the Lord maybe could use it to, you know, ignite a new fire in somebody's soul.
I can't let this time go by without lifting up once again your wonderful book, Forgiveness, A Catholic Approach. It still resonates so strongly in my heart and for many people I know that have encountered it. It is, it's tremendous. And that is yet another one I think folks should have. And I usually don't do that in an interview, Father, tell people to go out and get the other book as well. But I think in this case, if you don't have it yet, you need to have this book, Forgiveness.
Well, again, and thanks, and praise God. And I hope that the Lord has been able to use that book to heal people. And just last week I was in Boston, and an elderly sister came up to me, and she said that she had bought copies of the book for all the members of her family one Christmas, and in particular two brothers who had been estranged for 14 years. Mm. And independently, they began reading the book, and one of them halfway through called the other estranged brother and said, "I'm so sorry. I want to make up." And the other brother said, "Hey, I was just reading this book. I was going to call you." And you hear things like that, and you just give thanks and praise to God that He can use these things in ways that really can bring people back together. And certainly as an author, it's very gratifying to hear things like that.
Well, we're talking with Father Scott Hurd about his book, When Faith Feels Fragile, Help for the Weary, Weak, and Wandering. And gosh, I just wish we had more time. Any final thoughts, Father?
Well, again, thank you for the opportunity to be on the program. The final thought is, if listeners are struggling with faith, don't despair. We all have them. It can be a temptation, but it can also be a test and a great opportunity. Keep on putting one foot in front of the other, and you will certainly encounter the Lord.
Amen. Father Scott Hurd, thank you so very much.
Oh, Chris, thank you. God bless.
With Father Scott Hurd, we've gone inside the pages of When Faith Feels Fragile, Hope for the Weary, Weak, and Wandering. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to pauline.org, the website for its publisher, Pauline Books and Media, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.